having the real experiences beyond being called a Christian, you must understand how to function there. Christ is a place. So God wants a church that is in charge of the earth before he returns. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. He says, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. The day you got born again, you changed nationality. Yet you were sent as an obispo. You were sent as an occupational troop to bring the government of that heavenly kingdom to build on the earth.
Glory to God. The triumphant church. The triumphant church. Glory to God. Just quickly put Matthew 16 up. Very quickly put Matthew 16 up. Okay, Matthew 16. Quickly, Matthew 16, are you up? You know where to start from now. 18. Thank you, Jesus. All right, glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you have your Bibles? Can we move? All right. Matthew 16, 18 to 19. Can we read it together? It will help us step into this thing. Read it together. We have an agreement, right? You read out loud. One, two, go. And upon this rock, I'll build my church. And the gate of hell shall not prevail against it. Verse 19. And I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Beautiful. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. Put it up. We'll read the one together. And then we'll go into this. Thank you, Lord. Are you ready? Is on the screen. 1, 2, go. Even our faith. Verse 5. Who is he that overcomes the world? But he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Hallelujah. Just reading that is a blessing. Hallelujah. All right, so we've been talking on the triumphant church, and we discussed, yeah, that's a good one. And we discussed last week, we journeyed into talking about the apostolic DNA of the church. Hallelujah. And we used the night to describe. And by the way, it's been an amazing journey. If you've not been around, get the materials. Quickly do that after service on the e-library and listen to everything. Stay with it. Glory to God. Stay with them until something happens to you. All right, so we talked about the apostolic DNA of the church. So the church is apostolic in nature, by design, and by assignment. Hallelujah. And we use the word night, okay, to describe the apostolic ministry of the church in a measure. We say the word apostolic is from apostle, from the Greek word apostolos, which means to be sent in an ambassadorial capacity, authority. That's what it means. Hallelujah. So the church is sent. Glory to God. We are not by ourselves. We are sent. Hallelujah. We said, as knights or as apostles, we are custodians of the mysteries of the kingdom, of the secrets of the kingdom. We are keepers of truth. Glory to God. We are the ground and pillar of truth. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says that. Okay, calls the church the ground and pillar of truth. The world does not define what truth is. The church does, because we are equipped. We have, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, we have insight into mysteries and secrets of the kingdom. Are we together? The Bible talks about the wisdom which was hidden for ages and generations, but is revealed to us. He said, the princes of this world, they didn't have this wisdom. It was kept away from them, but for us. Glory to God. Talking about the mystery in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So, as the body of Christ, we have access into the secrets of the kingdom. We have access into truth. And you see, truth is different from facts. Truth is reality. Fact. Fact is physical. Fact is carnal. All right. Fact is it is material. Sometimes we have facts can agree with truth. But see, when fact doesn't agree with truth, you go with what? Truth. Are we together? Glory to God forevermore. You go with truth. Let me give an example. If the doctor puts a probe on a believer's abdomen and tells the woman, oh, I see some fibroid seedlings there. And because of this fibroid, you may not have children, except this has happened. That's fact. But can I tell you something? That is not truth. That is not truth. No, it's not truth. Your womb is a gift from God. And the Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from God. That means everything God gives you is good and perfect. If there's a testimony of imperfection, you resist it. Glory to God. That's one. Number two, what was used to look at that womb was a light. It's called ultrasound. Amen. It uses light. Okay. It was a light. Light is that which describes. So they used a device to give description to what they know is going on in that person's womb. Are we together? That is a light. But you see, the Bible teaches the true light. The Bible calls Jesus or the Word of God the true light. The true light. The light every man that comes into the world. If there's a true light, that means there are other lights. Have it together? There are other lights. It says that is the true light. That means this is the light by which you should see. And when you turn on that light, that one says himself took my infirmity and bore my sicknesses. I mean, there are many things you can see with that light. And there's something you cannot see with that light, and that's fibroid. When you turn on the true light, you can't see the fibroid. You can't see it. What they do is scan. They say there are no tubes, no fallopian tubes. Use Galatian tubes. Amen. Hallelujah. It was made the curse of the law for us, that the blessing of Abraham may come upon the Gentiles through faith, that we may receive the promise of the Spirit by faith. That's Galatian tube. You know what that means? Who was Abraham? He was a man who impregnated his wife at 100. And the wife was 90. Can I get an amen? Amen. That doesn't add up with fact. It doesn't add up. It doesn't add up. It doesn't add up. The Bible says against hope, he believed in hope. Can you see that? Simply put, against natural fact, he believed in the truth. What is the truth? The word of promise given to him. Marcos Kebredi Keposiah. That the seed shall come out of you, born of your wife Sarah. And unto that seed is the promise I'm giving you. That was God said. That was what God said. And the Bible says he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Separate facts from truth. Your current account balance is fact, but it's not the truth. It's not the truth. According to the scriptures, you have a heavenly account. Is somebody hearing me?
Yes, sir.
Am I in the right church?
Yes, sir.
He says, you have a heavenly account in Philippians chapter 4. In Paul's writing. He says, not that I desire fruit. No, not that I desire gifts, but I desire the fruits that may abound to your account. That may abound to your account. An account is a place of storage. Glory to God. Something that is credited to your to you for ownership. That's what he's saying. Hallelujah. We are custodians of truth. Oh, yes, we are. No, you go and ask Moses. How does stretching your hand with the rod divide the Red Sea? You know what Red Sea is? It's not this Angwa stream. Amen. I've flown over the Red Sea a couple of times going to Dubai. You pass, you cross over the Red Sea. Listen, the force, when you are passing an aircraft, there is sufficient force. You can feel the force. Do you understand? You can feel it. That's up 35,000 feet up. Then a man is standing by the bank. This is our heritage. That we don't understand impossibilities. When they say this is impossible, you say, watch me do it. When they say this is impossible, you say, come back again and see it. So a man stood by the bank of a sea. Kelo Savri Batoska. By the instruction. In fact, he was crying to God. He said, God, what shall we do? The Egyptians are coming. You You know what God told him? He said, don't cry to me. Tell the people to go forward. Tell the people to go forward. No, that is like you having 50,000 in your account with a plot of land, and the Lord says it's time to build. And you are saying, Lord, there's 50,000. He said, it's time to build. That's what it means to tell the people to go forward. To go forward to where? There's Red Sea in front. But when you are dealing with God, you are dealing, Ayakobata, with logic at a higher level.
Yes, sir.
This is not human logic now. He said, tell the people to go forward. Listen, brothers and sisters, as a believer, if you truly are going to fulfill your destiny in life, there will be many seasons where God will tell you go forward when there's a Red Sea before you. Why? He knows that Lee Kappa, by his power, you can split it. You can split it. Tell the people to go forward. And he said, Moses, this is what you're going to do. Stretch your hands over the sea and divide it. And divide it. God couldn't do it without Moses. Stretch your hand. Listen, in this season, I am believing God for the impossible. Listen, I am not believing God for things. You know, there are levels of the impossible. There are things that look impossible, but they are easily believable. I am believing God for things, testimonies that sound like lies. Let's know about Dr. Caris. Tell us something. Is somebody pushing drugs somewhere? Where are all these monies coming from? I like it. Can see in their mind, it's only drugs that can give somebody that money. Is drugs superior to God? You see how people rate God? But is somebody here with me this morning that is believing God for mind-blowing things? Do I have such a person here? Believing God for mind-blowing things. Mind-blowing things. Mind-blowing things. When you see that you're talking with your family, say, tell us the truth. Is this really the truth? Can something like that just happen? But I prophesy in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, enter into those manifestations. I say, enter into those manifestations. In the name of Jesus. Sit. A man standing by the bank of the Red Sea. And God says, stretch your hand over the sea and split it open. And on that fateful night, Zepetula Brikaya. And no, let it play over your mind. After stretching his hand, sea began to split. What a miracle. Waters congealed on this side, congealed on this side. And then the children of Israel passed over a dry land. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. We are custodians of mysteries that are not revealed to natural men. Never get stuck. Don't get stuck. In your life, never get stuck. Never let your mind get stuck. Always believe there's a way out of this. While we are custodians of truth. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let me jump into today. The cross is our victory. That's what we started talking about in the first service. The cross is our victory. The cross is our victory. Let me journey further. The cross is our victory. The cross is our victory. That's the second part of the teaching. The cross is our victory. What is the cross? The cross represents, you can write this down, the cross represents everything that Jesus accomplished in his vicarious death, burial, and resurrection. That's what the cross means. Everything he accomplished in his vicarious death, burial, and resurrection. That means everything he accomplished through his substitutionary death, his burial, and his resurrection. That is a cross. So that is the preaching of the cross. Or simply put, it represents the sufferings of Christ and the glories that should follow. Chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. It says, of which salvation the prophets spoke of, right? Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and said diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you? Is he searching what and what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify? Testifying to the testimony, verse 11 now. Testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ, but it didn't stop there. And I need to get your attention to that. Most times when we talk about the cross, a lot of people just think about the sufferings. No, something came after the sufferings. Glory to God. It is called the glories that should follow. Hallelujah. And you see, your theology must include that. Your theology of the cross must include that. That there was the sufferings of Christ and the glories that should follow. Glory to God. The Bible talks about we being, it says, Romans chapter 4, verse 24. That's what I'm trying to quote. One of my popular scriptures, the first line, that's what is eluding me. Amen. Can I see the way the brain functions sometimes? Amen. Verse 25. Go to verse 25. He was offered. That's what I'm trying to remember. He was delivered for offenses. That is his death. He was delivered for offenses. That is his death. That is his suffering. That's important. But he didn't stop there. He said he was raised for our justification. He was raised for our justification. That is the glory that should follow. Everything from the death, burial, and him being raised for justification is the cross. Do you get it now? According to the scriptures, is the cross. Is the cross. Because the dying on the cross itself was the means to an end. It wasn't the end in itself. After he was manifest in the flesh, he hung on the tree. He went into hell. He spoiled principalities and powers. He rose triumphantly and in victory. And he ascended into heaven. And there he ever lives to make intercession for us. So when we talk about the cross being a victory, this is what we're talking about. In 1 John chapter 5 verse 4, he said, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And I said this in the first service, that the faith there is not in isolation. That faith has an anchor. Amen. That faith has a foundation. And it's the finished works of Christ. It is the cross that is the foundation of that faith. Verse 5 reveals it more to us. He said, who is he that overcomes the world? But he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. He that believes that Jesus is God in human flesh. That is what the Son of God means. He came in human flesh. Unto what purpose? To die as a perfect sacrifice. Perfect. Perfect sacrifice. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right. So the wisdom of the cross. Studying the Bible and studying God's strategy for redemption, there's something I've come across, and I call it the wisdom of the cross. And I began to talk about it in the first service. Hallelujah. The wisdom of the cross. If you are thinking in your natural mind about a savior, you should think of a man with physical strength. What do you think? Talk to me, church. You should think about a man with at least intellectual prowess, intellectual innovations. He's coming to save the world. Let's put this computer here. Let's program this thing. Amen. A man with the best app in the world. Amen. Ready to save the world. Or you think of a man with military might. But guess what? God had another class of wisdom. He had another approach. He brought forth the savior, rather the savior of the whole world, was brought forth in a small village, not in a palace. Raised in a small town. In fact, when they came after him, they had to escape with him to Egypt. Then he chose uneducated people to be his apostles. Common guys. To make it worse, you think his headquarters should be in Jerusalem, in Judea. He lived in Capernaum by the seaside. Glory to God. And to cap it all up, he died. So if you are dead at the God, is this our Savior? Is this our Savior? You killed him. You let him die. How can you save people by dying? The wisdom of the cross. The wisdom of the cross. The wisdom of the cross. Hallelujah. Give me very quickly, give me Revelations 5:5-6, the wisdom of the cross. How can a savior bring salvation through death? The wisdom of the cross. How can shame bring glory? The wisdom of the cross. How can bended knees and lifted hands bring victory? The wisdom of the cross. Never forget this as long as you live, that our power is in the things that look weak before men. Somebody does something really terrible to you. I know our culture is pro-vengeance. I was talking about that on Tuesday or the other Tuesday. God is saying, forgive, show mercy, and power will be released. The wisdom of the cross. The wisdom of the cross. I mean, you are thinking, is my right? He infringed on my rights. Don't you understand? He was wrong. Listen, when we talk about the wisdom of God, I've said it 1,000 times. It is not right and wrong. It is the righteousness of God. When you catch this, you'll be a mature Christian. It's more or less automatic. Honestly, when you know that, look, for every situation, what is the wisdom of God? What is the righteousness of God? What does God think? What is God's preferred way of operation? You become wise. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. How can bended knees and lifted hands bring victory? That is the wisdom of God. That is the wisdom of God. Are you here? That is the wisdom of God. A man was attacked by 3 nations. Instead of going and renting allies and paying mercenaries, what did he do? By the prophecy, by the inspiration of God, he arranged singers in front to be singing. No, you put the priest in front, and then everybody behind them. The Bible says Israel stood there in the valley with their loved ones, with their little ones, their wives and children. What is that, a strategy? Any military person will tell you that's faulted. But that is the wisdom of God. And then they began to sing, the Lord is good and his mercy is forever. The Lord is good and his mercy is forever. Bam. The Bible says the Lord set ambushment. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How can sowing of seed? Hi, kalabos kabaya. You know, a dear man of God was told that his daughter just got crippled. I mean, the call from school, she just couldn't walk. She just couldn't walk. And he laughed. He said, where's my checkbook? The wife said, let's agreement prayer. He said, it's no agreement prayer. Where's my checkbook? I'm going to the nearest man of God's house. Slammed an abnormal seat. In a few days, she stood up and started walking. Question, what's the connection? Glory to God. The wisdom of the cross. The wisdom of the cross. The wisdom of the cross. You were threatened. You remember Hezekiah? When Sennacherib wrote him a letter of threat. I mean, I'm going to wipe out your kingdom from the map. The Bible says he took that letter and went before God, laid it, and began to pray. That is the wisdom of God. I'm saying that our priestly practices is the wisdom of God. Revelations 5. Are you there? Revelations 5. 5 to 6. Oh, glory to God. Hello, kabatesush te prunda kibasashata. All right. It says, and one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, had prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. So he's talking about a lion. I mean, that gives you an impression that this is strength. This is physical might. Are you here? Then quickly, when you go to verse 6, it shows you the back end of that lion that prevailed to open the seal. That is the wisdom of God. And behold, and lo, in the midst of the throne were 4 beasts. And in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which is the 7 spirit of God sent forth all throughout the earth. A lamb as it has been slain. What you see on the outside is the lion prevailing. Oh, but what you see when you now go to the throne, in the midst of the throne, you see a lion has been slain. You didn't get that. What you see on the outside is prevailing, is the victory. Lion is a tide, is a symbol of victory, a symbol of triumph, a symbol of dominion. But when you go to the back end, kalabruskepa, in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it has been slain. The wisdom of the cross. And if you don't understand, listen, in this wisdom is the dominion of the church. It's the dominion of the church. Somebody say, which prayer, which worship, which declaring God's word over the land? Let's go and buy guns and keep. Well, that is secondary. Amen. The first is the back end, our priesthood. In fact, what you should do on the outside will come from that back end. The instruction will come from there. Are you here? This is the wisdom by which we win. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, let me drive this home. I won't close now. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, he says, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us that are saved, it is the power of God. It is the power of God. It is the power of God. Where is the power of God located? In the revelation of the cross. In the preaching of the cross. In the understanding of the cross. Are you here? In the revelation of this thing that Jesus did when he hung up there, what does it mean? When he went to hell, what was the significance of it? When he was raised from the dead, what was the significance of it? He said, blessed are the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O God, in the light of your countenance. And Amplify shows us what that means. It's a blessing of those who know the spiritual significance of the Jewish feast. They shall walk, O God, in the light of your countenance. And of course, it was a story of redemption. Those feasts that kept was about the cross and the glories that should follow. It was about the sufferings of Christ and the glories that should follow. In the Passover, that is the cross. Are you here? In the first fruit, that is the cross. In your living bread, rather, that is the cross. In the first fruit, that is the cross. Are you here? In Pentecost, that is the cross. And to the feast that should come, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, the ingathering, the Feast of Tabernacles and all that. The Feast of Trumpet. The 3 years to be fulfilled. That is the cross. Paul says, I'm determined not to know anything among you except Christ and him crucified. That's Paul. You too, in this life, be determined not to know any other thing except Christ and him crucified. He said, but pastor, I'm a doctor. I need to read my surgery books. You read your surgery books. But above, he's talking about priority and precedence. Above that surgery book, you must know Christ and him crucified. That's what he said. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Give me Isaiah 53 quickly. We have to read this. Isaiah 53. We'll read 1 to 8. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The victory of the churches and the cross. The more you see this, the more the power is released. This is our power. Do you understand? This is our power. This is our power. That we have a lamb slain. This is our power. Do you understand? That we have a speaking blood. This is our power. That we have a high priest that is seated in the heavens. Whoever liveth, kalebakayadakab. All the babalaos on net will soon die, but this one ever liveth. Oh, you didn't get that. That means the high priest that men consult, their lives are short, but your high priest ever liveth. How could you fail? Listen, write this somewhere. The strength of every man is measured by the strength of his high priest. On earth, everybody has a high priest, believe it or not. And that's a measure of your strength. It's a measure of your strength. Put up Isaiah 53. Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Who has believed our report? For he shall grow up. Now he begins by talking about believing the report. What's the report? By now you should get it. What's the report? The what? The cross. What's the report? Talk to me, church. What's the report? He's talking about the cross. Watch this. He says, who has believed our report? Maybe I should read it. I should read it from here. Meko Bradiges Ashtepaya. He says, who has believed our report. I have to read it from here. Just give me a minute. Thank you, Lord. Glory, glory, glory to God. Just speak in tongues where you are. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Koribakosa. All right. Please amplify. He said, who has believed, confidently trusted him, relied on, adhered to our message of salvation? He says, to whom and to whom has the arm and infinite power of the Lord been revealed? So you now see the arm is talking about infinite power of God. That's what he's talking about. That means the power is connected to faith in the report. Do you see it now? Faith in the report. So he began to give us the report. Go to verse 2 now. King James. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Verse 3. Oh God, what has happened to him? He was the epitome of beauty. What happened? Substitution. Sin is ugly. He had been made sin. So there was no more beauty that we can behold him. He's despised and rejected of men. Remember when he was growing up, he grew up in favor with God and with men. But he had been made sin. He was despised and rejected by men. So that you should no longer be despised and rejected. It's called substitution. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. My goodness. You know what that means? Lekobare kasaya. That means for us, the days of our sorrows are over. That means when you get, oh my goodness, when you come into Christ, he has taken your place. He has taken your place. You are not a man or woman of sorrow. You cannot be acquainted with grief. No. He said, we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Verse 4. Thank you, Lord. Surely. Now, he's explaining now. He's explaining. Why was there no beauty? Why was he acquainted with grief? Why was he a man of sorrow? Surely, he had borne our griefs. Oh God. He had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. So this is that wisdom of the cross. That when the Savior came, oh my goodness, what kept you bound? He took it upon himself. Do you understand? He didn't help you from afar. He took it upon himself. He didn't come to share it with you. Somebody say, oh, as you are going through this sickness, Jesus is sharing the pain with you. No, no, ma. No, wake up. He didn't come to share it. He came to take it. Do you understand? He's not sharing nothing. He took. And the Hebrew word that means to completely collect from someone and bear. He carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten and afflicted. Smitten of God and afflicted. Verse 5. But he was wounded. You know what he's saying there? He said, when we saw, he carried our sorrows, he carries our grief. But so when we saw him, we thought, ah, what did he do to God? Why is God punishing this man like this? Do you understand? That's what he's saying. But he's saying, but he was wounded for our transgressions. That means that wound, that suffering, his passion wasn't for himself. And it wasn't because God was angry with him. He was the substitute. Yes. He took our place. He is our ransom. He is our mercy. But he was wounded for our transgressions. What does that tell you? The power of sin is broken. He was bruised for our iniquities. Look at this. The chastisement of our peace. The punishment for our welfare. Peace there is shalom. You know what shalom means by now? Shalom means peace or prosperity. Peace with prosperity. That means that somebody was punished for our peace. Ah, that means the back end of your prosperity is his punishment, not your hard work. Oh God. Oh God. Did you get that? This is the back end for your prosperity. Hard work, diligence is important. The Bible teaches diligence because God is diligent. It helps us express our potential. But you have to know where the root is. Do you understand? Do you understand? It is because somebody was punished. He said the chastisement for our peace was upon him. Listen, what I'm saying is simple. Every time you think about your prosperity, think about somebody that was punished. What a paradox. He says, and with his stripes we are healed. What a medical paradox. That the chastising of one, the buffeting of one, will bring healing to another. How can you explain it? The wisdom of the cross. That now I have to be healed. Why? Somebody was beaten. No, explain it. The wisdom of the cross. Are you blessed? The wisdom of the cross. Somebody was beaten. I have to be fine. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God forevermore. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every man to his own way. And the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. The iniquity of us all. You see, when you begin to analyze through the Old Testament, you will see that, listen, the cross in prophetic type was the victory of the Old Testament church. Have you noticed that? The cross was the victory of the church in the wilderness. When Moses took that rod, he dropped it, it became a serpent. He picked it again, it became a rod. And God told him, with this rod, go and deliver my people. What is rod becoming serpent? Rod is a type of Christ. Serpent is sin. That is Christ being made sin. And then when he took it up, he was resurrected. And with that resurrection power, he said, go to Egypt and deliver my people. Can you see that the victory of the children of Israel was a cross? It was a cross. At Passover. At Passover. At Passover. Is somebody with me? In Genesis 12. At Passover. The blood of the Passover brought great favor. No. It started by the lamb slain. In that Genesis 12. He said take a lamb slain. Which was the type of Christ. And then mark your doorposts and lintels with the blood from this lamb. And through the lamb, victory was wrought over Pharaoh. And the arrogance of Egypt was broken. In the same way, Christ as our Passover. As we arise in this revelation, this is how we are breaking the arrogance of the systems of this world. They can't understand what is the connection of blood and victory. But at the shedding of the blood of those innocent lambs, was the release of judgment over the gods of Egypt. At the shedding of the blood, is somebody with me? Which was the type of Christ. That was where the Passover was instituted. In that Passover was their dominion over Pharaoh and Egypt. What does that mean to us today? In Christ, in this sacrifice, in this cross, is our victory over the systems of the world. Is our victory over Babylon. They say, in politics, if you don't know how to do ritual, you can't rise. Tell them, I already have ritual done on my behalf. That is your victory. They do blood. You had blood before their own blood showed up. And your own blood is the blood of Jesus. Are you listening to me? If that blood in prophetic adumbration can bring victory in Exodus, how much more the main substance, which is Christ. That's why I say in 1 Corinthians 5, he said, Christ our Passover has been sacrificed for us. I would that believers will have their eyes on the cross. That's what I'm saying. No, I wish that believers will have their eyes on the cross. Not dancing between, I don't have anybody, what's happening, who can, no. You fix your eyes. He said, before your eyes, Christ was evidently crucified. You know what he's saying? Every time, see Christ as crucified. This is revelation. The lamb was still slain. Didn't you read it? This is revelation. What it's telling you is that the shedding of the blood of the lamb is timeless. The lamb was slain before the foundations of the earth. What happened 2,000 years ago was just a physical manifestation. In the realm of the spirit, as we're talking, the lamb is slain. As we're talking, the blood is fresh. I wish I had the church here listening to me. We have a speaking sacrifice. Oh yes, we do. And that is where victory is. We do not rejoice in the flesh. What broke the children of Israel out of Egypt? Military might? Talk to me. What broke them out? Military might? No, the cross. He said, kill lamb, put the blood. Listen, that same blood brought them favor and brought great wealth. Listen, your prosperity is in the cross. Your victory over financial limitation is in the cross. See it that way. See it that way. See, the punishment for our shalom was upon him. It happened. It's not new. Exodus 12:36 is there. Because of the blood of the Passover, favor came upon them, and they left Egypt with great wealth. This is where real wealth is. It was favor. Favor doesn't mean they like you. How can you borrow money from people that are mourning? Everybody in Egypt just lost the firstborn, including Pharaoh. And then he made them say, "Ah, madam, that your good that you like to use in the inner box, can I have it, please?" The Lord says, "Time to go." They were charmed.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
The Bible said they lent them gold. God had told their father in Genesis 15. He said, "They shall come out with great substance, not with empty hands." They shall come out. Genesis 15, he said it. He said, "I will judge the land, and they shall come forth with great substance." But see, how did it happen? How did the power for that wealth come about? The cross. The cross. The cross. The cross. Is somebody here? The cross. In Numbers 21, 8 to 9, when plague came upon them, they were beaten by serpent. What did he say? He said, "Lift up the serpent. Whoever looks shall live. Whoever looks shall live." And Jesus tells us in John chapter 3, verse 14, he says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, he says, so also the Son of Man shall be lifted. What was the victory over death then? The cross. When he was lifting the serpent, that was the cross. That's what he was saying. Balak hired Balaam the prophet to curse the children of Israel in Numbers 22. Remember the story. He will come to try to curse. He can't. He'll try again. He can't. You begin to bless them. And then Numbers 24 shows us the secret. I don't have time to read all this. When you go home, you read. 24, verse 1, shows the secret. He said, they dwelt in their tent. He said, how lovely, how lovely, how lovely are thy tabernacle, O Israel. You can put verse 2. O Paratoska. He lifted up his eyes and saw Israel abiding in his tent according to their tribes. And the Spirit of God came upon him. Verse 3. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And he took up a parable saying, bless the hand. Go down, go down, go down. There's something I want to read. Oh, falling with eyes open. Go down. Verse 5. Thank you, Jesus. How goodly are thy tent, O Israel, and thy tabernacle. I mean, O Jacob, and the tabernacle, O Israel. You know what he's talking about? They are dwelling in their tent. I've showed you before. Around the tabernacle, there were tribes to the north, tribes to the east, tribes to the west, tribes to the south. And when you look from the mountain, it was a sign of the cross. You can go and Google it. It's there. Google the arrangement of Israel in the wilderness. Always they were told to arrange like the cross. In the center was the tent of meeting. How can you explain it? That means God was preaching this cross even before Jesus came. There were tribes. Reuben was to the north, Judah to the east also. You see there. And then Joseph to the south. Then the wife, according to the four women. If you remember, glory to God. Hallelujah. It was the cross. So when he saw the cross, he couldn't curse them. It's the same thing to do. You can't curse us. You can't. Every curse is costless now. You can't curse. Amen. A believer cannot be cursed. It can't be. Even when you do stupid stuff, you can come under a curse, but it doesn't mean you are cursed. When things are not pleasant, you run back to where you left. Amen. Do you understand what I just said? No, we can't. A believer cannot be cursed. And no pastor has a right to curse a member. Either a member who left, amen. Do you understand? No. It's not part of what we do. We can curse devils and those who provide them accommodation. Amen. But not the believer. The cross is our victory. The cross is our victory. What of David? I can go on and on, no, two scriptures. What about David against Goliath? He picked 5 stones. That's the number of grace. That's the cross. We can go on and on. It's everywhere in scriptures. Everywhere. That is our victory. And that is where we boast. That is where we boast. Philippians 3:3. Let's stop there. Our time is gone. Let's stop there. I'm just beginning, sir. Amen. But we'll have to stop now. Philippians 3:3. Give me King James first. Philippians 3:3. 3:3. Speak in tongues where you are. O rebo kosaya. Poraba kapasosh to poraba. And to leprida koskapaya. Oh, hallelujah. Shokapa. So when Paul declares, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, you can see where his confidence is. Listen, your utterance reveals where your confidence lies. The things you say, truly, you have to say it all the time. Say it. Express where your confidence is. When you think about your finances, where's your confidence? The cross. When you think about your marriage, where's your confidence? The cross. Are you here? When you think about your career, what's your confidence? Christ and Him crucified. He said, for we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. This is the conclusion of the matter. We are the circumcision. You know the circumcision is talking about? You remember Colossians 2:11, I believe. New Living Translation. It says we've been circumcised, not with the circumcision made with hands, but Christ Himself performed a spiritual circumcision. He said, which is the cutting away of your sinful nature. That's the circumcision He's talking about. Oh, you see, you are circumcised. So go back to where I was reading now. Philippians 3. We have the circumcision. So He's talking to you. He's talking to believers. We are the circumcision. We are the circumcision. He said, for we who worship by the Spirit of God are ones who are truly circumcised. We rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. We put no confidence in human efforts. If your eyes are still on human efforts, you're not ready. He said, God, not the land by their own strength. Neither did their sword save them. But did they fight or not? They fought. But the strength came. He said, your arm, your right hand, and the light of thy countenance, because thou didst favor them. We don't have confidence in the flesh. We rejoice in Christ Jesus. The Greek word rejoice, that means to boast. It means to make boast in. That's what it means. To make boast in. Are you ready for this? Let me repeat it for you. Leko pataya. He said, for we have already experienced heart circumcision. And we worship God in the power and in the freedom of the Holy Spirit. Not in laws and religious duties. Listen to this. We are those who boast in what Jesus Christ has done. And not in what we can accomplish in our own strength. Where is your boasting then? Where do you boast? Where do you boast? Where do you boast in the different areas of your life? Who do you boast in? Human strength? Your certificate? No. You use those things as tools of worship. But your boast. He said we boast in what Christ has done. So when we stand and we say this land cannot be overrun by devils, we are speaking because of what Christ has done. Do you understand? Do you understand? Remember Peter. Peter was the timid and fearful one who denied Jesus. But when this revelation came, when they got born again by the Spirit, he stood and spoke boldly. He began to confront government. He began to confront sicknesses and diseases and devils. Are you here? Peter was so bold. He told the leader, he said, who should we obey, God or you? There was something he knew. It was the same one who raised the crippled man at the gate called Beautiful. He said, why are you looking at us as though by our own holiness we have done this? He said, but the name of Jesus and faith in his name has given this man this perfect soundness, whom you know and see today. Can you see his eyes that shifted? He said, his name, when he stood before that man, he was not helpless. He said, silver and gold have I not, meaning I don't have money on me right now to give to you. It's not a theology protecting poverty. No. He said, silver and gold have I not right now, but such as I have, give I thee, I give to you. And then he says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. The Bible says he took him by the right hand. That means he knew he had something. The name of Jesus. which is part of the cross that we're talking about. The cross is our victory. The triumphant church must know the cross as the source of our victory. As the source. There's no other way. There's no other way. We worship God in Christ Jesus. In the spirit, we boast in what Christ has done. We boast in what he has done. Can't you remember that even David is boasting was in the covenant? That even Abraham is boast was in the covenant? That even Moses is boast was in the covenant? How can you meet a leader of a nation, of a world power? It's like going to meet the president of the United States to say, hey, all the black people here, don't fear the Lord. Let them grow and give them all the monies you have. You don't have CIA. You don't have MBI or FBI. No CIA, no FBI, no Air Force, no Navy. Think about it. No Marines, no Marshals, no Army. Then you stand before the king. Thus saith the Lord God. Which Lord God? No, that was why Pharaoh asked, say, which God? And then he introduced God and said, I am. That I am. Peko Zapataya. And guess what? He went out to the people. He did. What was his confidence? The cross. That rod that was made serpent and made alive. That's his confidence. Think about every area of your life. And learn to boast in what Jesus has done. Learn to boast. So when you hear us shout that the days are coming when we will not know how much we have, our minds are on the covenant. When you hear us boast that we are going to cover the nations with the gospel, no nations can stop us. No nation, no gate of any nation. We have visas to all nations to preach this gospel. And we have all the monies that we need. That grace and apostleship has given us everything that we need. We know why we're talking like that. When you hear us shout, the systems of this world cannot put us under. We know why we are talking like that. The cross of Christ. No, you saw some of our fathers in the faith during elections and because of insecurity, standing and confronting the government. They don't have private physical army, but they know something. The power of the cross. Have you not seen that some of them, they can't say DSS, go and check them. When was the last time they said DSS went to see Bishop Oyedepo or Dr. Paul Enenche? Do you understand? They will harass them and there's no, you can't send DSS there. No, have you thought about it? They don't have private army, yet you can't send DSS. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. That means they are truly, they are armies, but they are invisible. No, think about it now. Even those they send DSS to, have you wondered why they can't do anything to them? You think it's a human right? You can't trust in human right to talk certain things, oh. You check the fire on your altar, then talk. Then talk. Then talk. Are you here? Confidence in this covenant. Elijah the other day drew a line and told the soldiers, he went to the, he's a cross. If you cross, fire burn you. Fire burns them. Where did the fire come from? Kai, we're out of time. Rise to your feet.
We believe the word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.